The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Quarter after seven. I know a few minutes ago I said I was going to talk with Ryan McMakin from Mises Institute about the 14th Amendment birthright citizenship and what BS claim it is that this is all settled law. That has been something which has been coming out of the media. He actually has an article in BlueRockwell.com today. For some reason, I can't get a hold of Ryan, and his mailbox is full. So maybe a lot of other people are trying to get a hold of him, too. But he's an editor over at the Mises Institute, so we'll try to get him rescheduled. That does mean, though, we have time for your stories and other calls and opinion on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, which is, I know it's kind of a dangerous thing to say. Hey, it's open phones on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. 770-563-3770-KMED. I wanted to get your take on what Senator Golden is up to right now. Senator Golden, we're going to have a little talk with him next week, probably Wednesday or Thursday. And a lot of this will have to do with the fire map, the wildfire map, of course. That's going to be a big part of it. But then it's going to be, what about this constitutional amendment that he wants to refer to the Oregon voters? Senator Golden sponsoring a legislative effort that would seek to enshrine a clean, safe, healthy, and environment amendment in the Oregon Constitution. This is in the Rogue Valley Times. Senate Joint Resolution 28. The Right to a Healthy Environment Amendment, backed by a number of senators and representatives, including, big shock here, State Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland. It would take a simple majority of the legislature to place the amendment before voters on the next general election ballot. Golden said the proposed constitutional amendment is similar to amendments in other states, Montana, Hawaii, Pennsylvania, and New York. In Montana, 16 young environmental activists with Our Children's Trust, in other words, children cry, so you're supposed to shred the Constitution and do what they say like we do to the children in Ashland, right? They scored a landmark legal decision when a Montana judge ruled in August 2023 that state agencies violated the state's constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment by permitting fossil fuel development. That is very interesting. So just by the nature, boy, you want to talk about a transformative environmental amendment if Senator Golden were to get his way? And who gets to define what is a clean and healthy environment? Is a clean and healthy environment one in which you are force vaccinated? Could it even go to something like that? I know that we're thinking that you'll have the right to a clean and healthy environment. Well, that would seem to be a clean, healthy environment would mean disease free. Wouldn't that be what they would? I mean, could you see it being stretched to cover any kind of tyranny that could be imagined in the fevered brain of a leftist technocrat in Oregon? Because even Senator Golden himself says he would be looking at the agencies to get rigorous. Let me see if I can find that quote. Oh, yeah, here it is. If we have it on the books, agencies will get more rigorous and will not be quite as quick to approve projects that have environmental consequences. Well, that could mean the Oregon Health Authority, couldn't it? I'm just saying, whatever kind of law you'll come up with, you can see the creative process that would be happening, especially from the authoritarian left to, okay, what could we control next that we really don't have control? You know the problem with you pesky people in Oregon, especially you boomer rubes and Gen X rubes and millennial rubes and even Gen Z rubes down in southern Oregon is that you don't like being told what to do so much. But we could do anything we want because we need to, to help you have a guaranteed clean and healthy environment. It's something worth thinking about. Let me talk with Tom. Tom, glad you called this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I think what Jeff is up to really highlights the contention that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think Jeff and Pam Marsh have the best of intentions, but as you say, it's the royal road to complete tyranny, complete control over people, and so forth. It's not about freedom. And I don't even think it's the best for the environment. Now, their whole premise of this amendment is based on the fact that they believe that we have a climate crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, that's ultimately a scientific question. Do we or do we not have a climate crisis? And that should be looked at real objectively. And so far, we can't get any real objective look at that, because people on both sides have, an axe to grind.
Well, they have good points, too, and it comes right down to it, is that there is no double-blind study to prove it one way or the other, because the climate has changed continually forever.
Never stopped.
You know, it has never, ever just stopped and been static. Although it has been static when it comes to really, really cold during ice ages, that would tend to last for a long, long time. And the Earth wasn't a great place to live in those days, from what I understand.
Yeah, they never, you talk about the, why is Greenland called Greenland when it's all covered with ice? They don't seem to have a good answer for that.
implying that Greenland is not green right now when it was called Greenland before, because you actually had the Vikings farming the shoreline, there. Because
that came from all our cars and factories.
all the cars 1,000 years ago, right?
yeah. That's why Greenland was green back then, because they had horrible carbon pollution.
You're right. So back to the Jeff Golden constitutional amendment. You think he really has good intentions. And I look at this and I see this is just another big power grab because even he himself, do you think that he can be convinced about this? Because he even himself says, if we have it on the books, agencies will get more rigorous, like they're not rigorous right now, right? Like they're flaccid. And they will not be as quick to approve projects that have environmental consequences. Well, practically anything that we do, Tom, has an environmental consequence. There's everything, there's just only choices that we make. There's just choices that we make every day. And,
Bill, you got to stop breathing. You're putting out carbon dioxide right now as we're speaking. So you really you got to be careful about this.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so, too. I'm surprised that he would just be so kind of blasé about it. Well, we'll have rigorous agencies.
I've heard through the grapevine that he refuses to talk with anyone about the climate crisis because he's as convinced that we have a climate crisis as you could be convinced of anything. And that's really the basis of where Jeff is coming from.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your take on it and very much. All right. Thank you. Tom from Talent, 770-5633. I think we got Mr. X on the line here, too, on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on?
I'm guilty. I was guilty of listening to my radio, and I didn't realize that the phone made the noise, and I was on air, so I'm sorry.
Oh, no. What happened is that my auto-answerer has broken right now. I'm going to have to reboot it at some point. It's like the technology... Even this amazing technology we have to answer the phone automatically for me, while I'm waiting, I just have to unplug it and plug it back in again. But then I'd lose all the calls, and so I'm just hitting you. I'm putting you all on hold as I see the lines light up, okay? So anyway, what are you thinking?
Well, listening to this idea about giving a constitutional amendment to create a state agency-based interpretation of what's a guaranteed as a clean environment.
I mean, a clean, healthy environment. I mean, Ed, that would encompass practically anything under the sun and beyond that we experience in our lives. Everything.
And the question has to become one where you don't question whether or not Jeff believes in climate change because he refuses to talk about it. So... the obvious logical conclusion is that he believes in what us believing in climate change can do for his desire to change the world or our state into the proverbial deep state, the state agency controlling everything. And that's communism. That's the reality. That's the influx of communism.
And everything about Jeff's worldview in this constitutional amendment is about the commons, right? everything in common,
right.
The entire state, everything about the common, everything within the state, nothing outside the state. Sounds like a combination of fascism and communism, just one big ism, I guess.
That's exactly right. And his whole viewpoint, all of these people, last night, this Forest Service, you know, the comments on the Northwest Forest.
Yeah, by the way, tell me about that, because it was about an educational meeting to educate people on the three alternatives, is what that meeting was about.
Well, I got there too late, Bill. Conditions, I couldn't get over there till everybody was basically stacked up in the things, and I talked with some people that I knew, and the reality to it is, it was a consensus stakeholder, three alternatives, and I would encourage people to say, at this moment, do nothing until I have to review, you know, a lot of the stuff on the alternatives and things, but the people that put the alternatives together, there were some things you were talking about earlier. These stakeholder groups are guiding these things, and we don't pay attention, and we don't comment. And our silence is our consent. And the reality is we have to call out this process. We have to continually recognize it and then call it out and demand that it be removed from the process. You look at the laws, the things that are going on with what we have here is literally they've been found out. The socialist influx, the communist direction, the idea of all of these things that our legislative leaders are putting in together. Well, the reality is we have democratic control of the legislature. Well, why? Because of the laws that they put together over the past 20 years. I don't believe that there is actually that type of disparity. But
well, if you have no voter ID, essentially, and a faith-based voting system, lot you can do with that, really, and also vote by mail.
Well, I also would like to say there is hope. Right now, these people are thrashing, and they're trying to gain as much as they can before they're pushed into a hole.
And this also has to do with the fire map issue, which was also started by Senator Golden and Pam Marsh. They both started that.
They all started it. And what is it? What is it about? It's about state control. And they're violating the foundational laws.
Ed, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, if we won't comment and get involved in that process, I don't know what to tell folks then, you know. And
it's ruled by consent of the governed. And you have to start telling them what you want. You have to.
Yeah, which means no consent on this.
Your grandchildren are gone.
All right. Now then, tonight, though, I don't know. I know you're not going to be able to, in your personal situation, not going to be able to do it. But tonight there's going to be the Ron Smith meeting, chairing that meeting in Josephine County at the Josephine County Fairgrounds. It's going to be 7 till 9 p.m. this evening. I wanted to make sure people heard about that, too, while we're sort of on this subject. And
I want to make a comment on what you just said. Politics is a strange bedfellow on every level, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't call it the Ron Smith meeting. I would call
has brought it up, though. Okay.
He's cared enough for his body politic, his people, to get together, come together, exchange ideas, and exchange information to be able to make a legitimate comment to the Oregon Department of Forestry and thus the state of Oregon.
And that's what's going to be discussed tonight, 7 till 9 p.m., Josephine County Fairgrounds. And I'm hearing all sorts of rumors, Ed, that there are some interesting aspects when you read that law, that there are big enough holes to drive lawyers through. I could be wrong about that, but we'll see.
It's a big enough hole that we can drive the people of this state through. And if we make the right comment, they need to go away with this implementation. And Jeff Golden needs to take and start an action to repeal, or someone has to start a motion to repeal this intrusive type of legislation that attacks our constitutional rights.
Point well taken. Thanks for the call, Ed. 770-5633. If you are on hold, I will get to your call next. I'll just find out who you are during the break, and then we'll continue. Conspiracy Theory Thursday on KMED and KBXG. American Rancher Garage United.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley with American.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
But I'd like to get to know you. 770-5633 to do that, and we can talk about what's on your mind, all right? One of my favorite bumpers. One of my favorite bumpers. I don't know why. It just sounds so happy, you know, that those halcyon days, I guess, 1967, right? I was 6 years old, and I had no idea what was in store for me at that time, going into my government school and getting together with Mrs. Gregory.
Hello, Mrs. Gregory.
Then finding out that I could read better than most of the kids in the class because Mom taught me to read when I was four. Thank you, Mom. It's one of the best things you ever did for me. Learning to read at three or four, man. You know, one of the challenges, I think, in the educational world when it comes to reading is that it probably helps if your parents like to read. If your parents like to read, you're probably going to learn to read at an earlier age. And if your parents don't like to read, now, like I said, loved my dad. My dad got me into the outdoors and various other things, but he hated to read. My mother loved to read. So I got a little bit of both of them. You know, I got my dad's tinkering side and got my mother's reading side. It's a good combo. 7:34, let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. Hello, Steve. How you doing this morning? Welcome.
Hey, I'm doing okay, Bill.
Good.
I would like to disagree with Tom, however.
Okay, how's that?
Well, there is something called a Luciferian contract.
Oh, you're going back on Senator Golden's constitutional amendment,
yes,
guaranteeing,
yes,
a clean and healthy environment.
Well, he knows it's a lie, and he's only doing it for power's sake. And that is the road to hell. So there is a study that was funded by the Forest Service by a guy named Dwayne Daniel, I believe. And in his study, he was trying to determine how long trees lived in southern Oregon. And the average age is about 100 years. And we stopped logging, 35 years ago, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So 35% of the forest has died, and the idea of an old-growth forest means that the forest can only be 100 years old, and a third of it, I mean, it's 1% is going to die every year. So there is no such thing as this ancient forest thing. People live pretty close to the same amount of time.
Huh. And so what we think of as an old forest is just old forest in human terms, but not in,
yes,
real terms. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, they sell it as these trees are thousands of years old. Well, there are sequoias and redwoods that live that long. And, you know, there's a couple other species of bushes that live a long time.
Yeah, but the Doug fir and the bristlecone pine or all these other various permutations of conifers, they're not, right? They're not going
absolutely do not. And so all the dead trees you're seeing are just natural. That is the natural state. So if
oh, you mean it's not just all climate change? It's climate change.
No.
Okay.
It's the natural state of how trees grow in Southern Oregon.
But that also means, though, that natural state means that eventually a lightning strike would occur, natural ignition, and then they burn it all to the ground, right?
All the fuel is going to be taken out, yes. So logging,
okay,
and, you know, I worked in the wood products industry for 30 years. I built sawmills. I worked in sawmills. I ran sawmills. President Trump said we've got lots of trees, but we don't have any sawmills. So I don't know how we're going to be able to produce the lumber that we need. But
and that is the concern, though. That is my concern here. All this talk, and this is even when I hear people, Bill, all we have to do is get back into the woods and we'll be fine. You might drive by Rough and Ready and notice that there's nothing inside that building. It was all sent to China, I believe, is where the...
Yes, and there is so much that goes into making a sawmill work. You know, so many technicalities. What type of saw steel that you use, what kind of kerf that you have, what kind of head rig that you have, how do you set it all up? How do you tension a bandsaw? I mean, there's just so much that goes into operating a mill.
And there's a lot of capital investment, too. Don't forget that.
Oh, well, yeah. In 1998, Croman built a mill in Boise. It cost $22 million. It's with the inflation rate, so it's going to be $100 million.
Well, you also have to figure, though, who would invest in mills in Southern Oregon right now, given the political
nobody,
risk? Even if President Trump...
With the,
even if President Trump were to say, okay, all of you West Coast senators, you're not going to have any sway on this. We're going to jam through some legislation and take over. But who would do it knowing that the political risk that you'd be taking on, putting it in business?
Well, it's a very complex thing, and it would take quite a bit. But, you know, repealing the EAJA, Equal Access to Justice Act, whereby lawyers get to sue and the government pays them.
Mm-hmm.
If one thing were to happen, taking that law off the books, would it sounds great and wonderful, but in what happens now is the sue and settle thing.
Yeah, and that's been a cancer on our body politic. Thank you for the call there, Steve. Let me go to DP, Deplorable Patrick. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Like you, I'm sad about the crash last night.
To me, it looks like just stuff happens. I hate to put it that way, human error. But do you have a different opinion? Because aren't you big into flight, if I understand?
Well, I got my commercial pilot's license when I was 18, but I don't fly anymore because mm-hmm. it's an expensive hobby. I'm not an airline pilot. I fly small airplanes when I get a chance, but that's not very often. But I keep up on all this stuff. And one of your callers, one or two, were talking about the idea of some kind of a system that would let other people, let the pilots know there are other planes on the, you know, nearby or on a collision course.
I was under the impression that there are variations of that already existing in many of the commercial airlines right now, are there? Or are they?
There are, and I just pulled up a great article on Wikipedia, and what you do if you want to read it is called TCAS. That's Traffic Collision Avoidance System,
mm-hmm.
and it works really good. Now, like the other caller said, it disables itself below 1,000 feet. Although what I'm hearing is it doesn't work to a complete extent. It just goes ding if it wants to alert you. It doesn't tell you to dive or climb. Now, those systems work really good. In fact, there was a crash, a really sad crash in Europe a few years ago. Where the controller saw just at the last minute the two airplanes were on a collision of course, and he yelled to one of them, climb, climb. Well, just at that moment, his TCAS system said to dive.
Oh.
Well, he listened to the controller. He should have listened to the system, and it would have saved them. But so, in other words, that's how good that system is. It only didn't work because he didn't use it, but there's a lot of information about that on Wikipedia. We do have it, and it works good. And I'll tell you something else, Bill. I'll make a grand prediction right now as a deplorable. You can count on one thing: they're going to change the procedures there. They're going to route those helicopters a different direction, or a totally different altitude, route them out around or something. And that there are always changes.
Yeah, well, the way it seems to be routed right now seems to be guaranteed to take helicopter traffic from that fort, that refueling fort, that base, I think is where the helicopter base there, or the military base there, seems to be guaranteed to take it into conflict with the departures and arrivals over at Reagan International. It seems there should be a better place to route them.
Well, bad planning, and yes, they can route them out of the direction. And I think I'm 99.9% sure you're right. The helicopters don't have that TCAS system, the military helicopters, and probably sophisticated corporate helicopters, you know, that cost $20 million. They probably do for executives to ride it, but not that military helicopter.
You look at that accident yesterday here, Patrick, and you're just saying, boy, you know, if the helicopter had been 50 feet lower, right, even 25 feet lower, don't you think of that kind of stuff? You're looking at, it's like the plane was 2,500 feet, not even half a mile from the runway in safety, right? You know, just that close.
Yep.
And then,
very, very regrettable. And it shows you in aviation, there will be no mistakes.
Yeah.
That's generally true. Now, there are things when you kind of get by, but generally speaking, you don't dare make any mistakes. That's why they have checklists and lots of training and stuff like that. So
I'll watch that guy that the other listener that called in a few minutes ago was talking about, Blank Illyrio or something like that. You know, Juan, the guy that does a great analysis on YouTube. I think I subscribed to his channel a long time ago. It's really amazing. I didn't watch him last night, though. I was just watching the breaking news. And the one thing that seems really clear about many small plane pilots, like you were talking about, you know, you do the smaller planes, you have a license for that, and how often they end up crashing when they don't do their pre-flight checklists, and even the commercial pilots too, when they're not doing their checklist, they're not going through the procedures. Oh, I've done this. I've flown in and out of this airport a million times, right? You know, those sort of things. And how so often not following those detailed checklists and procedures. They're there for a reason. It keeps them keeps people alive up there.
I think you signed up with Blanco Illyrio at my suggestion.
I did.
Some years ago. I hear him all the time, and I listen to these documentaries. And yes, there are a lot of people that fly, say, for instance, these twin engine airplanes. Mm-hmm. I was just reading about it. Watched a documentary the other day. This guy is known for, oh, I don't need no checklist. And then, you know, he loads the passengers on this, like a 10-passenger airplane, doesn't check to see if it's overweight or if it's loaded too far to the rear.
Yep. Yeah, the balance was off. I think I watched that one. I was watching that one. And then he crashed and killed them all, right? Everybody died.
Killed them all. That's what made a big hole in the hangar roof. But the problem is people's lackadaisical attitude. They get around airplanes. They think, I'm not going to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they get their name in the paper.
And then you have the trend of everybody wanting to be a YouTube or an Instagram influencer. We're going to have our channel, right? And so here it is. I'm learning to get my pilot. I'm getting my pilot's license. There have been other ones in which you've had these online pilots. They're always showing what's going on, that sometimes they forget that they have to still fly the plane, and they're worried more about the you know, filming their video, and some have died doing that kind of stuff too. Pretty sad.
Oh, good heavens. You know, there's a guy, Dan Greider, who's a real aviation expert, does those YouTubes all the time, and mm-hmm. he wound up in the ambulance with a broken leg not long ago. And he's a good pilot, but they were taken off in this twin-engine Lockheed, an old airplane from this really good airplane, but it was from the 30s, and they started to make a takeoff with flaps down, which you don't do, and the airplane can't climb because it's usually, those are called landing flaps for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an expert, and he crashed that airplane, or the two of them, probably two pilots. But the point is checklist, checklist, checklist.
Yep.
And don't take a casual attitude toward it. That's the big takeaway.
Yep, indeed. Appreciate the call, DP. 745. 770-5633. We're continuing noodling on anything on your mind. Could be the plane crash you saw yesterday. Could be, you know, we're going to be talking about the RFK confirmation hearings yesterday with Pocahontas was in there. Senator Wyden also had his... All I'm just saying is that I'm hoping that someday we have Senator Wyden and RFK Jr. doing a podcast together. I mean, that would be a really interesting study in speech impediments. Just, you know, back and forth. That could be, I'm sure that would be, you know, rivaling Joe Rogan. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Crater Lake Medford Mazda.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
Continued dangerous time. A little bit of open phone time left if you wanted to squeeze something in. On Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Of course, every day feels like a Conspiracy Theory Thursday in one form or another. One thing I'll say about the response from the current administration and the people in the FAA and the various other people, the new transportation secretary and such, it's been a very different tone than what was coming out of the Biden administration. I remember what happened with the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, as an example, and how you didn't hear anything from Pete Booty for a long, long time, just like nothing. Everyone's just kind of circling the wagons in. Now, maybe this was different because it happened in the swamp. You know, the actual plane crash yesterday happened there, and a lot of video on it, and you weren't having to go into flyover country in Eastern Ohio, to be able to find out more about this. Maybe that had something to do with it. But they were doing a pretty good job of getting information out into the various media channels. And I'm hoping this continues. Because one of the biggest challenges, I think, that as a as a society, we've had difficulty. You can't trust anybody even a little bit. We've been so conditioned and beaten, whipped like bad dogs, for decades, several decades now, called conspiracy theorists, censored, which is why I don't feel all that comfortable when I see all the tech bros buddying up to President Trump, because they're the same people that were censoring us last time around. But, maybe they're just realizing there's a different sheriff in town now, so you have to get together with the sheriff one way or the other. But you get to the point where every time I hear something out of any news report, it's like, boom, I just immediately doubt it. In fact, I think Hubert Smith from Jacksonville was once said, there's Bill, our resident doubter. But the one thing I'll say about the Trump administration just in the last couple of weeks here is that there seems to be an amazing amount of transparency and get what information we know to the people ASAP. And of course, it's been kind of coming in like a fire hose. But then you see what happened with this, tragic crash last night. And they're being quite forthcoming about it. And I think that's good. Now, since this is conspiracy theory, there is one story, though, that I'm not buying from the Trump administration. One story. You know what story that is? The drones. I'm not buying that story. Because after all the drama, after all the videos, after all the breathless covering, after all of the FAA denying, no, we don't know anything about this. Now, all of a sudden, the FAA, we knew what was going on. These are, licensed and experimental plants. We knew all about this. I'm having trouble buying that, are you? Because the FAA could have said the same thing back in December under the old regime. I don't think that even the feeble Biden guy, the Biden thing, would have said, no, don't tell him anything about the drones. Let him sit around there and worry about it. I don't think that's what was going on. I don't know if it would be too uncomfortable that, because remember, the theories were, are we looking at enemy action? Of course, we were told absolutely no enemy action, and yet people were saying there were lots of drones coming in out of the ocean on the East Coast. These were the claims that were being made. So that's one change in the narrative that I'm not quite down with, and I'm going to continue to be a little bit doubtful. And even the tone as they delivered that, we know this is nothing to worry about, move along. And maybe it would be too uncomfortable to say otherwise. Or maybe it was. Maybe it just was that simple. But I don't know. Just doesn't, that story, that's the one story out of the Trump administration that doesn't quite feel right. What do you think? We can continue talking about that, 770-5633. We're actually going to be digging in more to the confirmation hearings there. Dr. Jane Orient, MD, will join me from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons here in the next few minutes. All right. Now, I still haven't dropped by Kelly's Automotive. In Ashland or Grants, not Medford, rather. Medford or Grants Pass, both locations are doing this one. But I've got my peanut butter and I've got my jellies in the front seat. I just need to stop by and see Lisa and the whole crew there. But they're continuing with the 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive, Kelly's Automotive, and just bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter and 10 or more ounces of jelly. Grants Pass or Medford locations will put a pair of new windshield wipers in your car worth up to $35. And this week, all the donations matched by Tyler Lake from Juggernaut Marketing and Tom Randall from State Farm Insurance. Very nice. They're both making a difference. Means your donations will be doubled at Kelly's Automotive Service, Wipeout Hunger. They donate all those peanut butters, those nut butters, and the jellies and good stuff to the food banks here in the area. Very good stuff that they're doing.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your...
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
Couple minutes before 8, KMED and KMED HD1. HD1, yeah. Medford and KPXG Grants Pass. K290AF, Rogue River. K294AS, Ashland. I think we got that all. I just like this Ray Charles song. I love it.
Hey, everybody, let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
You only live but once, and when you dead, you're done. You better let the good time roll, baby.
Until I had that on last night's or yesterday morning's Wheels Up Wednesday, I forgot how much I loved Ray Charles' songs. I'm going to have to bring him into the bumper now and then. How many years has he been gone now? Man, what soul. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff's in Selma. Let the good times roll. Jeff, what's on your mind, huh?
Hey, yeah, don't forget the Cars, Bill. Let the good times roll.
You know, I don't have that in bumper. We should do that. Let the good times. That'll
I'll
be another one. We'll do it.
I'll send it to you.
No, I have it. No, I've got it here. We'll make it happen. All right? Thanks.
Okay, you know, this whole tech bro thing, right? Now, you go back into high school, and there was always the kids who would get in trouble for stuff, well, even your own family. And it's, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, right?
Yeah.
Until you turn your back. And every time you can do it over, you know, one more chance. It's the one more chance, people. About, you know, 200 one more chances.
Mm-hmm. Do you think those are the tech bro people?
Between those kids and Zuckerberg and et al. Is the amount of money. So when Trump takes over, you know, they're at the board meeting going, what are we going to do, man? Because we're going to lose a lot of money if we don't suck up. But as soon as he's out, and if somebody else takes over, it's right back to, you know, business as usual.
Then we go back to the way we were, what we really wanted to be in the first place.
Hmm. Right. Now, there is the conspiracy theory that Trump's in on the whole thing, right? And they're all going to work together, and they're all going to put us in the shack.
That's a great conspiracy theory Thursday. I don't know if Trump has those kind of leanings, though. I could be wrong.
Well, it's out there.
Yeah.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's all part of the plan. You know, just like with George W. Bush, what did he really do other than he was a Republican, and he got Republicans to go along with the
police state
and procedures that they wouldn't go along with under Clinton.
That's right. And that's what I get really concerned, that we have to be extra vigilant when you're talking about anything that could be going sideways under a Republican and you're a conservative or a Republican, because you will tend to excuse your guy. And,
exactly.
And I would say if we had had Joe Biden, or let's say Kamala Harris, if God forbid that had happened here, talking about, we're going to get, here's a whole bunch of tech bros, some of the biggest, wealthiest oligarchs that that have talked about, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had AI surveillance cameras everywhere so that people would behave better. That's what Ellison talked about, right? You know, the world would be a much calmer place if we were just monitoring everything you did, right? You know, the panopticon.
You know, everybody would stay in line much better if we were constantly monitoring what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Minority Report style, that sort of thing. And then saying, hey, listen, you want to get down with our AI program here, because we'll give you a cure for your cancer, because that's how you sell it. The tech bros will give you this little thing, but what's in it for them?
What I was telling my wife, too, is that it's, you know, this whole AI thing and that even Trump's going along with, it's a promise, right? That's all it is. It's just a promise.
Uh-huh.
Is it going to cure cancer? No, it's not going to cure cancer, because if it did, all the money would dry up.
Now, I would be really impressed with artificial intelligence finding the ways to make sure that you don't get it. How about that?
Well, you know, there are certain health things that you can do, which is one thing I like about Robert F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even in that hearing yesterday, the one congresswoman was pressing him on, are you just rubber stamping what Trump is doing?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that conflict with your personal beliefs? But she kept hammering him with questions and wouldn't let him answer.
Well, there's a lot of that going on.
Have to trot out everything that they suspect and accuse him of without letting him, you know.
Well, this is the way they do in the confirmation hearings. Everybody has to get their grandstanding pound of flesh, okay? That's what this is all about, okay? Jeff, I would be wise, once again, to be a little doubting, okay? And you have to watch your guy just as like a hawk, as just as you would if they had been done with the Biden administration. And I know that we would be hopping up and down if it had come out of the Biden administration, some of the stuff, okay? Let me go to Crazy Gene. Hello, Crazy Gene. This is your day, Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Oh, well, thank you for the day. And I'm just calling to say that flashlight I called about the other day, don't buy one. It's a piece of shit.
Which flag are you talking about?
that photon flashlight?
Oh, the photon flashlight, the one that they have cutting through the side of a battleship, right? With the beam is so laser hot, right?
Yeah, a friend of mine bought one, and he says it's just a flashlight that there's so many positions on the switch, you can't stop it from blinking.
Okay, thanks for the review. All right, Gene. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News is coming up then. Dr. Jane Orient, MD, will join me. We'll talk a bit about the RFK confirmation hearing. Should be fun.